Let's see. That concludes the morning service, so we'll begin the evening service now. We will not be as long as we usually are when I'm teaching. If you'd open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, while you're doing that, it'll give me a chance to welcome all of our friends, neighbors, fellow believers, travelers, and shut-ins who've just joined us on our website or on YouTube. Welcome to our special mission conference Sunday and our special service here at First Baptist Church of Burton, Texas, where Jesus is first. We enjoy a time of, just like Fifth Sunday, we enjoy a time of extended fellowship, spending a little bit time together, more time together than we usually do. So we look forward to these special services. And this, as Brother Gary has already said, this sort of coincides with a Jewish feast in the Old Testament of the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Ingathering. It's a harvest feast where we celebrate and we give thanksgiving to the Lord for His abundant blessings and mercy to us. So we appreciate you joining us and ask that you'll worship along with us. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. And he said, Jesus, to them his disciples, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No one is excluded. Not a single human being, the 7 billion plus, is excluded from that command and that commission. Now here's the extent of our mission, our assignment, our commission, our job. And I would point out to you that the verse does not say, go ye into all your community. The world includes our community, but it's not confined to just our church ministry and our immediate community. If missions was only in our community, then the mission would fail. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw them, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. You know who led that crowd? Thomas. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what we go out with. His all power, his all authority, his all abiding presence with us. He said, therefore, based on that fact that I have all power, he said, go ye and teach all nations. He didn't say go make disciples. You can't make a disciple until they're first saved. He said, teach all nations. Again, no nation is excluded. Not Iran, not North Korea, not communist China. No nation is excluded. All nations. What are we to teach? Preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 said. It's the gospel. Then, when they receive the gospel, they're baptized, they're brought into the church, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then, when they're in the church, when they're saved, baptized in the church, then comes the discipling. That's when you now make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's discipleship. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, Brother Gary has already read it, but let's look at it one more time in Acts chapter 1. And verse 8, I want to point one thing out to you in this verse. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What is that power? That power is the all power given unto Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes His power of Jesus Christ and He gives it to us. And the result of that is, you shall be witnesses unto me. You will relate what you have seen. What you have seen, what you've heard, you will give witness to that. Who to? And where? You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to point out one word here, and it's that word both. You shall be witnesses unto me both. At home in your community and to the uttermost parts of the world. You see, somehow Satan has convinced the church that missions is optional. A large city up north, and I think it was way up north there around Dallas, they built a large modern post office at a cost of several million dollars. And what a building. It had all of the bells and whistles that you can imagine, all the most modern equipment. And at the grand opening, the governor, the postmaster general, and the mayor all spoke. It was a big deal. Bands played. They cut the ribbon. And the mayor was appointed to be the first to go in with his letter in hand and mail the first letter in this brand new multi-million dollar post office building. He got into the lobby along with all the other dignitaries and the photographers, and then he stopped short because, much to the embarrassment of everybody there, there was no mail slot. There was nowhere to mail the letter except outside in the box. In the rush to meet the deadline, they had overlooked the build-out of the wall that had the letter drop in it. When a church gives up obeying the Great Commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts chapter 1, it surrenders the reason for its existence. When I talk to other pastors to encourage them to get more involved in missions, this is what I usually hear most of the time. Amen, brother, we have a plan to do that. But right now, we're just trying to reach our community first and build up our programs and pay off the debt of our buildings, and then we'll get involved with missions. It seems, though, that they are always building another building. There's always more debt to pay off. There's always another program. And the missions always get left off. When a church doesn't do both, local and international, the local never gets accomplished. Now, I want to say here that I thank the Lord for our church. I want to go on record. It's being recorded, right? So it's on the record that I appreciate the Lord for our church family. Because He has moved us to do both. I remember when missions here consisted of a Lottie Moon offering at Christmas and an Annie Armstrong offering at Easter. And we still do that. But that comprised less than 3% of the church's annual offerings. This idea of a free will offering above the tithe and the church's stewardship plan, general fund, came about in the first annual mission conference. If you were to put our abundant harvest mission offering alongside the church's stewardship plan last year, missions would be just a little less than 50%. If you're looking for a reason, one of the many reasons why God is blessing the church, that should be up there toward the top. Now look with me at Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. If you were here in our prayer meeting Wednesday night, you heard that there was a question that came out of Leviticus 27. And I want to use this occasion to answer that question. Leviticus chapter 27, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation." A singular vow means a vow that's made by one single individual. It's not part of the tribe. It's not part of the nation. It's a single individual. It's private, it's personal, and it's voluntary. It's not a required offering. It's not a required activity. It is a free will offering above what God required in the other sacrifices. Verses 2 to 8 were for persons who vowed and who dedicated themselves. That's, for instance, if you go into service, if you are a Levi and you are in the service of the tabernacle, that is what Samuel's mother did with Samuel. She dedicated him. She made a vow to the Lord, you remember, at the altar, that if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And then she went and took him to Eli, the high priest, and gave him to the Lord. You can do that with a person, people who the Lord has called to preach. That's what they do, missionaries. Verses 9 to 13 is cattle. Verses 15 to 25 is houses and lands. Today we would call that donations. In other words, someone has a car and they're going to donate the car to the church. What that means is the car would then be sold and the proceeds from that sale would go to the church, or if it was for a specific designated purpose, for a new sign, for a new sidewalk, for a new window, whatever, then the proceeds from that sale would go for that specific purpose. That's what we would call it today. That's what Ananias and Sapphira were doing in Acts chapter 5. They sold their property And they made a vow that the proceeds of that sale would go into the church's benevolence fund to buy food for the distribution. But they kept back a part of it. And you remember what Peter said. He said, This was your land. This was something that you did. It was not compulsory. It was free will. And if you wanted to keep back a part, you could have done that. You'd say, I want to dedicate a portion of the sale of this property to the church. That would have been fine. But they wanted people to think that they gave everything. So they lied to the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because who they lied to specifically was the church. And he said, when you lie to the church, you're lying to the Holy Spirit indwelling you to Jesus Christ. Interesting. This is a vow to the Lord, a promise, a covenant promise that an individual enters into. And that's exactly what this offering is today. We enter into a vow. We make a solemn promise to the Lord. That's why you don't put your name on it. We don't need to know what that is. All we need to know is the amount so that we can in turn make a vow, make a solemn promise to these missionaries that for 1 year, they can expect each month X amount of dollars. I mean, it's good. Wouldn't you like to know what your paycheck is going to be before you hire on at a job? It makes you plan out your family budget. Well, missionaries are the same way. The ministry sheets that we post every August for 4 Sundays, that is a 1 year vow to the Lord to serve Him in a particular ministry to fulfill the church's great commission and the great commandment. All 12 of our ministries fulfills either the great commandment or the great commission or both. And that's a vow that an individual makes. You say, why can't I just serve until I get tired? Because you're not a volunteer. Anything we do for the Lord is not on the basis of a volunteer. We are servants of the Most High God. And we, in serving and obeying and carrying out His will and purpose, we are fulfilling a covenant promise to the Lord in so doing. It is a covenant service to Him. Marriage is a vow. It's a vow made to God, then to each other. It is a covenant promise. Now, in chapter 27 of Leviticus, there is provisions made that if you got too spiritual and said, I want to donate my car, and then you got home and your wife said, do what? How are we going to get back and forth? Oh, well, I just sort of got caught up in the moment. Grace was given in the law. Aaron, as an intercessor, could go to Moses and say, this guy didn't check with his wife first. Or vice versa. And so there was a price of redemption. The estimation of that car, $5,000, 10%. So you gave, what, $500? Notice I checked to my math major. So you would give $500 then to the church. That was to the tabernacle, to the temple. That was the price of redemption for the vow. Salvation is a vow. You come to the Lord in repentance, asking for forgiveness and say, Lord, come into my heart. Allow me come into yours. And I will be your child forever. And the Lord enters into that covenant and said, I will be your God forever. Baptism is a vow. After salvation, you're making a vow to follow the Lord now that you're saved, now that He's saved me. From this day forward, I am going to be identified with Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to let people know. Church membership is a vow. It's a covenant relationship. You don't just attend church. You enter into the responsibilities of being in a church family. You don't just live together without being married. That's fornication. That's a sin. And you don't just show up when and where you want to. That's not a membership. There is a specific membership in a church. Oh, well, that's law. No. How did they know there were 5,000 added to the church in Acts chapter 2? There's an accountability to a particular church family, and that's what people don't want today. They don't want the responsibility of that. They want to be able to come and go as they please. They want to be able to quit the relationship when it gets going a little rough. But you see, a vow, a covenant, carries blessings. Breaking a vow carries consequences. Yes, we have grace. Yes, we are forgiven. But the consequences are still there. Giving is a vow. Lord, under grace, I'm going to give what the law required in the Old Testament. Because grace is greater than the law. I'm going to give above what was required. The reason why we do this every year, the reason why we sign up every year, is in July for the ministries, we reevaluate. Lord, is this really where you want me to serve? Is this really the ability? Is this really the spiritual gift you gave me to serve through this ministry? Is my life, is there going to be a life change? Am I going to be moving jobs? Am I going to be moving to another location this next year? So I cannot vow and commit to another year of service. That's done in July, and then August you put your name. And that is a vow to the Lord and to the church. And then it's renewed every year. I noticed there's a lot less enthusiasm after you've signed your name a little bit. Well, everybody knows I'm going to be this. No, that's not how it works. In the same way, the Lord may bless you this year. You say, I can give more next year. And so during the month of September, you're praying, Lord, I feel like you want me to give more. Or maybe you lost your job. And circumstances have changed and your income has drastically been reduced. Lord, I don't feel like you're leading me to that same amount. As bad as I hate it, it just seems like you're leading me to do less because of where I'm at. And that happens. You see, mission giving is a vow, because then the church enters into a vow with those missionaries that they can expect that each month from the church for 1 year. Folks, God is a missionary God. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on a mission. And Jesus Christ left His home in glory to come to a foreign place where He was despised and rejected. He came with a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the same mission of the church. And in order for them to be eternally saved, he did a work of redemption on the cross. He had a mission to fulfill, and he fulfilled it. And when it was fulfilled, God said, Amen. And he brought him out of the grave alive. And then he caused him to ascend back to his right hand. Exactly what he's going to do with us. He's going to cause us to ascend either at death or at the rapture of the church. We're going to ascend and we're going to be in the literal presence of the living God. He's a missionary God. This is a missionary book. People in this book, their life that's recorded in this book is a life of missions. Even Adam had a mission. What was Adam's mission? Do you think the Garden of Eden was only supposed to be in that little location? No, Adam's job was to expand it to the world. It's the same thing that will take place during the millennial kingdom. Noah had a mission, did he not? Abraham had a mission. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they had a mission. Moses had a mission. And go right, this is a missionary book. God saves us and brings us into a covenant relationship with him for a purpose. It's for his purpose and his will that we are to fulfill. It's why we're saved and brought into that covenant so that we can be used of him in his service and in his labor. It's a missionary book. The church is a missionary group of people. Brother Gary's already said it. Every saved individual is a missionary. You're either one of two things this morning. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Which one are you? Everyone in this church has a mission. And it's the same mission that a missionary has. Oh, you may not be planting churches. But do you know how you plant a church? With people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior and forming into a group. And that group becomes a church. It's the same job. It's what we do here, and it's what we're involved with on the other side of the world. I've said it before, if you get a globe, find Burton and put your finger there. Then find, Brother Jeff, Kamavarapu Kota in India. And it'll be just like that. It'll be directly opposite on the other side of the globe. That's not an accident. God has moved a small group of people to make a difference to somebody that we don't even know. Most of us in this congregation won't get to meet any of those children. But we will one day. And as a result of God moving in our hearts to give a portion of the blessings that he's blessed us with, people on the other side of the world come to know Jesus Christ because a man is able to preach the gospel to them because he's being supported in order to be able to do that by a church on the other side of his world. Only God can come up with something like that. So, on a beach with billions of grains of sand, how do you pick out which one that you're to be involved with? How do you pick out which one to witness to? It's easy. To the one that the Lord leads into your path and who the Lord leads you into their path. It's the one in front of you. There are over 1 billion people in India, in that one single nation. We're not going to reach 1 billion people in India from this church. But what if another church our size was led with the same vision to get involved with another church in India? How many churches are there in this country? If every church did what we did, you could begin to see how 1 billion people could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have any control over what other churches do. We don't even have control over what other individual Christians do. But I want to tell you something. I got control over what this Christian does. I may not can save the whole world, myself alone, but I can save the one in front of me by giving them the gospel and praying that the Lord would save them. And if they don't get saved, I've still done my job. Let me ask you a question. Are you giving of yourself and of your time and of your resources and of the spiritual gifts that God has given you? Are you giving them to the Lord for Him to use in whatever way He sees fit? Or are you steering the ship? Just as a church can get blinders and only be involved in just their community, an individual Christian can get blinders and only be involved in their little family, in their little world, in their job, in their school, and lose sight of the people in the community. What is the Lord speaking directly to you this morning? Maybe to give your life to Jesus Christ in salvation, that He would save you, that you'd be born again. Maybe you've never been baptized. You've received Christ as Savior, but you've never been immersed into water as a picture of being immersed into Jesus Christ at salvation. Maybe you've never given yourself to a particular church family that the Holy Spirit has been leading you to. Maybe the Lord is leading you to give your life for the gospel ministry. There's a special call on your life to preach or to be a missionary. Maybe you're giving a tip to the Lord instead of worshiping Him in tithes and in offerings as He's led you to. I don't know. Only you know the answers to those questions. But I want to tell you something. I can't think of a better time to get that right with Him this morning. I'm going to be standing right in front. You come let me pray with you. And I'll pray with you about whatever decision the Lord's leading you to. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks are going to come and sing an invitation. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be involved in a group of your people that love you and worship you and serve you with all of their heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And in that service and love to you, there's also a love for their neighbors. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for calling me to this place. Now, Lord, there's still much work to be done. As the verse said, the fields are already ripened for harvest. There just needs to be men and women, boys and girls, that would be willing to go out into those fields and bring in the harvest. Spirit of God, would you speak to every individual here? If there's something specifically that you're leading them to do that up to this point they have not done, would you lead them now during this invitation? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.